Hello and welcome back to All My Darlings, where we are reading Harpsong for a Radical, The Life and Times of Eugene Victor Debs by Marguerite Young. The read-along with organized by Paper Pills started on October 1st. Chapters 1 through 6, pages 3 through 27. October 2nd was chapters 7 through 12, pages 27 through 44. And today, October 3rd, 2023, is chapters 13 through 18, pages 45 through 62. As you can see, they are going to catch up to any kind of reading that I did very quickly. But it's a read at your own pace. Everything is on Blue Sky. I have two invites now, invite codes in case anyone needs one. Feel free to message me and I'll be happy to send you an invite. Publish the invite code. When you look on her, so I didn't know she had a blog. She has a WordPress blog, reading an act of shared solitude.wordpress.com. And then, if you get on Blue Sky, her link that, has all the information, is on a post and it's on that link as well. But if you go to her blog, you'll find it. It's the, under Harpsong for a Radical. Let me double check. Make sure. It's October 1st. So we're using the hashtag, or she's using the hashtags. We are. People are reading. MYoung23. And are also Harpsong for a Radical. Let's see. And then there's some on the... And also hashtag Marguerite Young. Yeah, because I knew I was doing something. And it was, and it is taking place on Blue Sky. Okay, so as far as what we usually do is, like, you read the pages, and if you find some memorable quotes, I always go back through and just find so much that I'm like, oh yeah, and people really posting good quotes from the book. And that's usually what people do. They say, you share your thoughts and feelings, of course, about what's happening while you read it. And then you can also share quotes from the book. I noticed that's something I've done several times. When I've participated in these read-alongs, I got bit by a bee. And oh my God. It's one of those, I call them sweat bees, but they're also called carpenter bees. Oh, I think it hit me on a... And I was avoiding their nest. I like bees. I love bees. I want bees to survive. I want them to have a good time. They tried to be in my house, in between the siding and the... It's a 100, over 100-year-old house, and it's a wooden frame. But siding was added, and they got up in between. I think the siding and the wood. So we had to spray them and get rid of them. So then they went into holes in the ground. That's usually where they are, holes in the ground. Most bees are. The one hole was a little further off from the house, and I was fine with that. We made the mistake of putting a picnic table and trying to have a picnic very close to that hole. Realized it. I got stung a little bit then. It was a very light, like, it pinched me, and it didn't feel like a, you know, really hard sting. It just pinched me. And I was like, that's fine. You know, I saw where the hole was. Our mistake, you know, my bad. Our mistake, no problem. Well, then they turned around and built another hole right next to my dryer vent, right next to the house. So I was out mowing this morning, and I saw the hole. You could see them. They're busy. They're coming in and out. You could see them. I did not mow near them, so I, you know, stayed away. But I think my husband was, missed mowing this weekend because we were busy having fun. And so we were out this morning early trying to, you know, get it knocked out, which we did. But, oh, anyways, I didn't even mow close to them, but I guess the vibration, the sound, everything upset somebody. And they nailed me on the back of my leg, back of my ankle. I've been stung. it's not new. I've been stung occasionally before, but I have a headache. I feel kind of nauseous. I'm having a really bad reaction to this one, and it just hurts. So So I'm just now getting to the reading part. We are on page 89, chapter 28. If you are reading along, I hope this these recordings are helpful, especially if you couldn't pick up the book. You could at least listen to this. And hopefully participate on Blue Sky. It's fun. It's a cool group of people. Paper Pills is always awesome organizing these things. Other than this, I don't know anything else about her. Or most of the other people through what I've learned on through social media, talking to them a little bit, but it's just mainly been about, as for me, reading about Marguerite Young's books. I generally don't get involved with other stuff, but they do a lot of book reads, really good ones. Okay, one of the causes of resentment against Vitling's leadership by rival leaders more interested in their own ego-centered capitalistic ventures or non-ventures, which still might make them money, than in his altruism, was that he was adamant in his refusal to cede to the Iowans the title to the mill where the grain was ground into flour, and to cede also the 40 acres of land surrounding it, all purchased by the Arbeiterverein funds, along with which else already lost to the far-flung brothers. He had tried to impose order where chaos had been for some time in the process of undoing whatever work was done. The hay had been unsheltered for so long before being taken into the barns that half of it had been eaten by stray cattle which were not of these communal fields, but had followed the scent of clover and hay from neighboring capitalistic farms. The purchase of the sawmill had been, according to Brother Vitling's evaluations of profit and loss, the worst speculation that could have been made with the funds of the members of the far-flung Arbeiterverein, whom he was still urging to come here. And who and how could he blame himself? He had blamed others. There were not enough picks and shovels for the lands that were. Much construction, which had not yet been completed, had been left to fall into ruins. Many metals had been blighted by rust, including the iron castings for the flour mill. There were not teamsters enough for the hauling of the millstones from the river front to the flour mill, and yet the journey would have been short and would have required no miracle. The problem of the portage of millstones seemed to be, along with many other communal burdens, the problem left on Brother Vitling's back, and in a society ruled by many diversities of clashing opinions, where the last word could not be his as the first word had not been the his. For a little while, the gleaming of silver shining up like the eyes of birds from under the soil, and shining through the crevices of rocks, and shining upon the bulrushes, and upon the branches of the dwarfed and twisted apple trees, and the apples, had led to the hope that the silver, when mined, could be turned into gold for the payment of loans, in which only such great tycoons as Astors and Vanderbilts should have indulged themselves. The silver dream had been disappointing. The silver, when taken to the silver assayer's office, turned out not to be that silver which could have been exchanged for bars of gold, the material kind, and not the spiritual kind, but the lead that the communions could not afford to mine, so that all their harvest was likely to be no tree bearing the golden apples of harmony, but a tree bearing the leaden apples of discord, those turning into the apples of dust. As a community, no matter how hard Brother Vitling tried to jack it up, was always falling from economic chaos to economic chaos, mainly because of the continuing rivalries of capitalistic egos within its borderlines. He, who was doomed to failure in his attempt to provide a moral dam against the flood of selfishness, with its short-sightedness as to what might be the general welfare of man and bird and beast, had found some refuge in trying to unsnarl the snarled threads of bookkeeping, and had found perhaps his only happiness during his sojourn there, when he had gone out to work upon the completion of the physical or actual dam for which the working men had not completed digging up the mud, perhaps because they felt that they were underpaid, or did not wish to get the mud upon their lily-white hands, or stand in freezing water up to their waists, as they would have had to do if they had been Russian convict laborers with close-cropped heads and almost featureless faces, inside the polar ice cap somewhere in the wild winter wasteland, and had had no choice but to dig or die and dig and die, as the snow howled around them and many were entombed under the great ice banks. Okay, so let's see where we are. Okay, so we are on October 5th. So that's in a couple of days, where the pages will be covered 79 to 104. So it's about 25 to 30 pages a day. That's going to be tough for me to keep up with. So not so much as reading it, but as trying to keep the recordings going so people can listen along. So I don't know. I'll do my best and see what can happen. It's a lot of reading. And sometimes my voice is just not up to it. And other things. But technically, I do have time. I don't know. I'm going to try and keep up with it. I'm a good, like I said, 28 chapters in. Anyways, I will be participating in the read-along. I don't know. And I will try to see if the podcast can keep up with it, but I am not sure. I'm making no promises. But yeah, right now I got to get my leg to stop hurting. Oh my gosh. Bees. Bees. Come on. I'm a friend of the bees. I did not want to be stung. I didn't expect it to just hurt that bad. They're sweat bees. I usually, like, I have been stung before and they're just kind of like a little pinch. This one was a bite. Oh my goodness. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for listening. Hope all is well wherever you are. And bye.